supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Referencing the Goblin this October isn't merely a harbinger of Halloween. It also adds to the evidence pointing to the possibility of a to-be-discovered planet in our solar system. Let's take up 2015 TG387 with Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. Derek, help us follow the tea leaves for this one.
This is a really cool discovery for a number of reasons. First of all, it points to yet another object that we find outside what we think of our standard solar system retinue of planets, you know, from Mercury all the way out to Neptune. But in fact, we now really clearly understand that there are a group of other objects out beyond Neptune that we really have to sort of think about as the possibility of being planets. And this piece also helps to compile even more evidence as to the existence of the mysterious Planet X, or as some have called it, the planet Nibiru, a gigantic planet that some have speculated is in orbit around the sun at tremendous distances way out in the deep solar system.
So what is TG387 and how does it add to this growing consensus?
Well, TG387 itself is a 200-mile-wide, not very big, we should say, minor planet asteroid-type object. We would think of it really more as a minor planet than anything else. Like Sedna or any of those other objects that orbit out beyond the largest dwarf planet of our solar system, Pluto. In fact, its nearby neighbor Eris, that's out beyond Pluto, is actually slightly larger than Pluto. So along with TG387, Sedna, Quowar, and all of the others that seem to be out beyond Pluto, it calls into question, A, our definition of what really makes a planet. How do we truly define what a planet is? And how many more objects are we going to find out beyond Pluto?
What about this aggregate of subplanets points us to the possibility of a big one way, way out in the distance?
Well, it's actually the shape of the orbit of this one that really drives us to think that there is something very big out there. Number one, the closest it ever gets to the sun is 65 times the distance between the Earth and the sun, okay?
Put that in perspective with, say, Pluto.
Sure. Pluto is about 40 times the distance between the Earth and the sun. So when we look at the shape of this particular orbit, we find that it's very long and elliptical, if you will. So figuring out what the dynamics would have to be in order to make it this shape tells us that there's something of truly great size at a considerable distance out that's forcing this object to have this orbit as we mix the gravitational influences of some very large unseen object and the objects that are closer in toward the center of our solar system.
Is it thought that this elusive ninth or tenth planet will be the final big discovery in our solar system?
We've tried to do that before. We've tried so many times to make that claim before. When Clyde Tombaugh discovered Pluto in 1930, the question came up, are there other objects out beyond Pluto? And Tombaugh said, if I didn't see it, there's nothing else out there, because he felt as if he had covered every possibility. But at that time, he only had limited equipment to do it with. Nowadays, we have much better, much more sophisticated capabilities to see farther out into the solar system and to detect the gravitational influence of larger, more distant, although unseen objects on closer objects.
And so with that, what's available to be seen at the Night Sky Observatory coming up this week at the Franklin Institute?
I wouldn't rush right out to see if we could get a view of TG387, but two major planets of our solar system will easily be visible. Saturn, our lovely ringed planet, and the red planet of our solar system, Mars, are in beautiful position in the southwestern sky for us to be able to see them this Tuesday evening beginning at 7 p.m. at the Franklin Institute's Night Skies at the Observatory program. Also that night, we'll have a great presentation provided by two really amazing speakers, Loretta Whitesides, who's the co-creator of Yuri's Night. She's also an experienced zero-gravity flyer as flight director for the Zero-G Corporation. And Claire Pelly, she's head of the astronaut office at Virgin Galactic. Here's your opportunity to ask all those really wonderful questions you might have about the future of regular people flying into space aboard the Virgin Galactic Spaceship 2.
I have a question. What's Yuri's Night?
Yuri's Night is a worldwide celebration held to recognize the first human flight into space. Yuri Gagarin, an astronaut for the Soviet Union, took this first trip into space on August 12, 1961. So, in recognition of that, folks all over the planet, institutions, individual parties, all kinds of things, are put together to recognize that first historic trip of humans into space.
I suppose he can be credited with then being the catalyst for the U.S. responding and eventually putting Neil Armstrong on the moon.
You certainly could say that, because with the launch of the very first artificial satellite in 1957, that spurred the United States to really get its act together, forming NASA in October of 1958 as an answer to the gauntlet that was thrown down by the Soviet Union to have access to low Earth orbit.
Thanks, Derek.
My pleasure, Dave.
Derek Pitts, chief astronomer at the Franklin Institute. He joins us each week at this time on Sky Talk.